Okay, cool. It says we're recording. I love this. So we were just talking about this idea of legacy, and the, a lot of people tie it to money and sort of like this distant thing. Maybe it's what they're going to leave their kids. And you had a bit of a different take. And so, yeah, I'll let you pick up from there where we kind of left off.
Yeah. That's one form. That's I think the definition of legacy. If you look at in the dictionary, it's something about like the assets that you leave, generational assets you leave behind. But assets aren't just physical, tangible things; they're intangible things too. And I think that part of the confusion is legacy. Thinking of that as big and it's attractive and it's sexy to people. I think what it does is it gives people this drive that you can't get from just money alone, because money doesn't have enough potency to like drill past your soul, like into what really matters. You know, once money gets to a certain level, it really loses its its power to drive. So the legacy thing is what comes next. And I think a lot of people adopt that, adapt that into their lives as I'm building a legacy for my family, for my kids, for whatever, my future generations. Which is one thing, and that's fine if people do that. I look at it a little differently, and I'll tell you a story actually that kind of like sums it up pretty perfectly. So I have two daughters, and they're both adults now. I have almost 3 grandbabies, so that's how old my kids are. That's how old I am, and I'm a grandpa, and I love it. I love every second of it. But one of my youngest daughter, she worked at a like this bougie ass Italian restaurant. She was a bartender. Like, I mean, you pull up and there's like Bugattis and Ferraris. Wow. And it is like super bougie place. I think it might've been like had some mafia ties. Cause it was like I went there all the time, and I'm like, these people got, there's something going on here. It was a cool vibe.
The meeting's happening.
Yeah. Something's happening. It was a cool vibe though. I was like, I liked it. And they're super cool people. Like that's what it was. They were just really polite and like very welcoming. But you know, like you don't want to piss these people off.
Right.
I mean? Like I said, they're super cool. So she worked at this place as a bartender, and this lady, she came home from work and she told me this story. This lady was talking to her because my daughter's got like a couple tattoos and that kind of thing. And all of them are significant. One of them, anybody that knows me or has listened to any of my trainings, a lot of people know the butterfly story. And so she's got a butterfly tattooed on her shoulder. Very significant to me and her. She's got a moon, same thing. They're all significant. And the lady was just kind of like, you know, kind of like condescending mom, like a mom mm-hmm. walks in the room like, oh, is this how you like to live? Do you like to live in this mess? That's, you know, if you like it, then that's fine. If you like to be messy, then whatever. And they walk, it's like passive aggressive, you know, kind of shit. So this lady was being that way with my daughter. And my daughter was like, yeah, and she's giving her advice. And then finally, my daughter popped back some things. And then the lady kept going and said, well, do you want to be a bartender the rest of your life? And she's like, ma'am, all due respect, but I don't think you know who raised me. And she, I'm like, oh my God, this is great. And she goes, my dad's Mike Kemsky. And you know, what I want to do is be happy. And I was like, good for you. Good for you. And to me, that is more of a legacy, because that's something that, you know, it's like if you look at like the Native Americans and those people, they had the elders, and they'd sit down and tell all the youth these traditions and stories and things about earth and about all the things. They had it right, and they passed down this generational knowledge and generational wisdom. And to me, that is more, I'm more focused on that when I think about legacy. And so I watch it in my kids, and I'm like, I've left the legacy, so I could disappear right now, but I still live on through them. Mm-hmm. I don't need my name in lights. It doesn't matter about that. That's, I think, part of it. Some people want that recognition and significance, which again is a big driver for human behavior and what people do. And it works. It works for achievement, that kind of thing. But you get to a certain point where the material part, there's just not much more you can get. So they like transmute it into some other meaning. And so if you look deeper into it, this legacy people are building has to do with significance, or, you know, like people, I mean, if you drill down, you're a coach, you know this, if you drill down to every single person, ask them the questions, get to the very bottom, the core bedrock of what it is people want, it's always the same thing. They just want to feel like they matter. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the bottom line. So however they do that, they do that. But it's not all about building an empire, you know, kind of thing, but there's a different element to it when I approach it. And for me personally, I think my legacy is partly breaking a cycle of abuse and, you know, all the shit I went through and all that kind of stuff. My kids will never have any idea what life is like that. Mm-hmm. So I broke that cycle and then began a new legacy of transferring this wisdom of self-empowerment, of being able to understand that you're the creator of your life and you're the creator of meaning and all these things that both my kids have tattooed on their bodies, highest energy wins, which is principle one of the Power Life principles. And, yeah. You know, and it always reminds them, it's just like highest energy wins. And that applies not just in life or personal development or human, but it applies in nature everywhere. It's just a universal, the bedrock principle of all that is. And so to pass down any kind of knowledge or any kind of wisdom that helps them empower themselves and empower their friends, that's legacy expanding, you know, to me. So that's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah. Wow. I love that. And just so I capture right, if someone wanted to, you know, find that in the book or find that in your program, is it still that? What book would they look for?
What book?
Yeah, where you said the number one principle.
Oh, the Power Life principles. Yeah, the Power Life.
Yeah.
Principles.
It's okay, because it went by a different name previously,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's had some revisions over the years, but the latest revision, I've had people, it's so funny, I've had it professionally edited, I think five or six, I'll say five so I don't over-exaggerate and I make sure I'm being honest. I think it was six, but five times I've had it professionally edited, and there's still typos in it, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what this is rated, but I'm going to rate it Mike Kemsky. I'm like, fuck it, leave it. Just let people understand it's okay to be human. Nothing's perfect. It's okay. So the latest revision is it's just called the Power Life Principles. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. And I know Ellie had, you know, she was raving about it and I've looked at it, but she loved it. It made a big difference for her. And just that concept of the highest energy wins made a huge difference for her. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you. And yeah, your work is some of the most meaningful that I've ever come across. Even your posts that you put out, it's, you know, it's not what people would typically see, and it's straight to, it's really eye grabbing, like attention catching. But it's authentic, like you said, like it's you. And I think that's something that we were talking about before, is this idea. And I think, you know, leadership or coaching or these different worlds, people have this training around authenticity, and it's like the opposite. It's like performance, right? Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear your thoughts on. Yeah, this idea of like authenticity, and there's almost like a piece there, right? Like even as you were telling the story of your daughter, right? Being able to just really speak up, and that you implanted that, you know, these ideas and these teachings with her, that she's able to honestly communicate how she communicates, and you're able to show up in the way that you naturally show up. How would you share with someone who might be trying to, you know, wrap their head around all this stuff or elevate into their leadership and who they're becoming, where maybe they've been sold this idea of authenticity, kind of like this acceptance of themselves or what? Yeah, I feel like I'm rambling, but like that idea of authenticity, I think you get what I'm saying. Yeah,
I get it. It's comical to a degree. let me teach you authenticity. What the fuck? How, like, how do you do that? People say that all the time. You know, like, I literally am like, what you see is what you get. I don't, there's nothing different about me anytime. You've met me in person. Am I different? No, I'm the same. There's no stage for me. And that's authentic. It's just like, I feel how I feel. If there's one thing, like my dad was not, I won't go into the whole depth of that, but he didn't win trophies for being dad of the year anytime. But there's one thing that he did know about me, and there's one thing that he said about me, and it's remained true my whole life. He said, with Mike, you'll know where you stand. If he's happy at you, you'll know. If he's mad at you, you'll know. And it's impossible to not understand that. He will be whatever he is. And I've always been that way. So when people are trying to learn authenticity, the best thing to do, I think, is to flush everything. Don't try to learn authenticity. Get away from all of it. No input whatsoever from anybody about authenticity. Completely destroy it and think for yourself and think like, what am I thinking about? What do I, you know, my preference? Do I like red? Well, I have to like red because everybody else likes red. And if I don't like red, they're not going to like me. Fuck them. Do you like red or not? Like, that's what it's about. Like, it's as simple as that. It really is. It's just, and then think about what you're thinking about. And is this something that's really your thought, or is it some shit that someone put in there? This is how you have to think to be successful or to be desired or to be loved or to be admired or whatever. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, it doesn't matter, because it always comes back down to self-acceptance. And really, this is going to sound a little bit gooey and whatever, but it comes down to self-love. And when I say that, you know, there's so much shit out there in this space where it's like self-love and I got a pedicure and a massage. That's self-care, and that's part of it. But if you look at like what love actually is, it's not complicated. Love is nothing more than having a high regard for someone's well-being. If you have a high regard for their well-being, you love them. You have love and admiration and care and that kind of thing. So what the hell would self-love be? A high regard for your own well-being. It's just that simple, man. It's not like, you don't need to complicate it. It doesn't mean you need to go buy yourself roses and write yourself love poems and all that kind of shit. No, your well-being, top to bottom, mental, emotional, physical, and those three things make up spiritual, but you can take spiritual as some third party thing, whatever, all of those things. And how do you service your own well-being? By being you. that's it.
Yeah.
And it's really not complicated, and there's no way to teach it. It's like, that's why, how do I be more authentic? Stop trying. It's like, the best metaphor or example for this is like, how do I breathe? Okay, inhale, exhale. Now you're going to breathe all kind of fucked up. You're not going to be breathing normal because you're thinking about it, and you're not letting nature do what it naturally does. So authenticity is the same thing. You just be, and you might piss some people off. You might be socially awkward. You might be all kinds of stuff, but awesome. If that's what you are, then be that, because otherwise all you're doing is you're creating a big, beautiful dinner, this big giant picnic table full of dinner, full of barbecue and steaks and all kinds of shit. But the whole crew coming to eat is vegan. And they're like, what the hell is this? This is the wrong environment. Yeah. But so if you make the dinner and you make the thing, guess who comes to eat? People who aren't, people who like barbecue. Like, it's just, that's how you become attractive to people that are also attracted to you, that you become attractive to. And it creates this, like these tribes, these communities, these friendships and these things that are just based on purely allowing people to be themselves. And if you know what, I don't like that flavor, then we don't have to hang out. We don't have to be friends. We can do stuff together. We don't have to hate each other or kill each other, but we don't have to like be friends, and we don't have to hang out and do this kind of thing. So authenticity is such a tough one, because there's so many people out there that are trying to like teach this shit. Like, it's not something that you can learn, because you don't have to, because you're already you. The problem or the challenge, if we want to help people with this, really help them with it, is you got to go back, and it's kind of a process of taking complete responsibility and accountability for your own life, for your own decisions, your own choices, all that kind of stuff. And you can go back and go, well, this person did me dirty. Okay, well, what was my role in that? And if you keep going back and back and back and back and back, at some point you're like, someone told me I had to be this to be that, and I believed it. but it doesn't fit with me. It doesn't match with me. You know, people will all the time, like, you'd get so much more reach and so much more impact if you didn't swear. I'm like, fuck off. I don't care because, like, that's how I talk. It's just like, if I'm at the gas station, that's how I talk. It's just me. And I don't find it offensive. And if you find it offensive, change the channel. It's as simple as that. But you know, the thing about authenticity as it relates to leadership is it is the most potent and attractive, magnetic, powerful energy you can have as a leader. Because when you're just being you, you're standing on such a solid foundation that you're unshakable because you don't have to be anything else. You don't have to try. There's no performance. There's no theatrics. There's no this. It's just like you're always just you. And there's something about that that is just very, very soothing to other people's souls because it gives them permission to just be them too. And you start this little, it's like a chain reaction, you know, like a nuclear reaction. And it starts to spread and spread and spread. Pretty soon, the whole world is just like a place where you can exist authentically. And some places are going to kick you out. Some places are going to like pay you to come in. It's just like, come on, we want you around so much, we're going to pay you. That kind of stuff. So the in terms of leadership, the closer you are to you. And let me say what I believe authenticity is. Because there's so much human stuff and there's so much noise and there's so much expectations and demands from outside everywhere. But authenticity, we're going to get into the little bit of the woo part of this for a minute, but, you know, from all I can tell in my 30 plus years of doing this work and my 52 years of being alive, we have a soul or a spirit or whatever, a higher set, whatever the hell language you want to use for it. This energy that animates the body. So we have this human experience and we have this spiritual experience. And there's a quote from, I think it was Wayne Dyer, that says, we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. And I'm like, no, dude, you're half right. Cause we're both, And that will oscillate back and forth. And that's part of being authentic. It's like, I'm having a shitty morning, a human thing. I'm not in my spiritual energy. Because this, the best way to look at this is, for me anyway, and it's helped a lot of people, is look at it like I'm either a person experiencing nature or I'm nature experiencing a person. That's the distinction. Nature experiencing a person is very spiritual energy. It's very much like, whoa, this is a trip, man. Look at this. Look at these digits. What is this space suit? What is it? It's kind of a cool thing. But you got to get to the point where you can connect to your soul and without all the noise, like with expectations, and you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to have degrees, you got to have accolades, you got to have blah, 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 Ferraris and Lambos and everything. Ah, fuck. Okay, calm down. All you got to do is connect to your soul. What does your soul want to express in this life that it can't experience without this human body? When you get to that point where, and that could be anything, it could be painting the biggest picture mural of a turtle that's ever existed. It could be making a $1 billion business. It could be anything. None of that. It's there's like an indifference to it because it doesn't matter. All that matters is it matters to you. The second it matters to you, you know, you're like, oh my God, something just happened. Something hit me. I'm drawn to this thing. And each one of these things is a step towards a successive progression towards the ultimate path of where your soul wants to go and what your soul wants to experience in life. For some people, it's freedom. For some people, it's adventure. It's all different, man. And that's what's so beautiful about it, the diversity. That's why we are each other's greatest gifts and assets, because some people are really good at making pizzas, but I don't want them fixing my car. But some people love like wrenching and figuring out problems, and they just like it feeds their soul. I want them fixing my car, not making my pizza. And so, the problem becomes a problem when people aggrandize everything. It's got to be this big giant thing. It doesn't. That's why my daughter told that lady, like, you know what I want to be in my life? Happy. And whatever that looks like for me, it looks like for me, you know. And so anyway, the whole thing about the tying this back into leadership, the more you are just freely being yourself without thinking about what you're being, without like, is this going to offend people? Is this going to make them like me? Any of that stuff, the more you're just in this flow of being you and you're expressing your energy and your words and your actions and all this stuff through what your soul or your spirit wants to experience in life, the more attractive you're going to be in terms of a leader in a leadership role, because there's no way to be like a dictator with that energy. It's more like people will follow that, because it's attractive. It's like fun. It's energizing. It's empowering. It puts wind in your sails. It lifts you up. It's the most potent energy that human beings have, is authenticity. Yet it's one of the ones that people struggle with the most, because it's not something that you can like take a course on and learn. You can get bits and pieces, but you're not going to you can't, it's like learn how to breathe. Holy shit, that just messed up everything I know about breathing. You know what I mean? So it's just a little bit of a, I don't know why that light just turned off. That was weird. Ghost. Anyway, that was weird. So now this is the dark side of Mike. Anyway, that's kind of a big, huge blob of overview of like authenticity and leadership.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think this is huge and it's super helpful, because a lot of times when I meet with leaders, they've built these, and I say leaders, people, business owners, they've built businesses and successful businesses, but a lot of times they reach this place where they might not be enjoying it anymore, or they're having these challenges with their people. And, you know, just these three elements, right, around the legacy, the authenticity, and the leadership, a lot of times that's been the hangups, right? Is this element where they've been chasing something. Not that it's bad to move towards something, but it's almost like they've been chasing the idea of something rather than the thing that's maybe lit them up, or they've been trying to place themselves in the box of authenticity. I'm doing some air quotes, you know, and so I really love how you're sharing, like, that people can try to take these courses and they can do these things, but it's really about having that awareness for them to tune into themselves. What do they like? What are their preferences? And that energy is really what creates what they want, because it's actually in tune with what they want. Not something that they're coming from a place of lack, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's a lot to that you just said. Lack, we'll go backwards. Lack is a critical function of creation. It's not like a bad thing. People are like, lack, don't say the word lack, because then the law of attraction will attack me and take all my stuff. It won't. Everything exists in this world because of lack. Everything. Someone made a chair because they got sick of sitting on a fucking rock. Like, okay, we make stuff that we feel will enhance our lives in comfort, in productivity, and whatever, because it doesn't exist, which means it's lacking. And that part for everyone is like phase one. That's exciting, because why is this so? This is what's so critical. Why people need to understand this. Why is it exciting? Why does it light you up? Why does it amp you up? It's because in that process, that stage of the process, you're living on purpose, because we all have the same purpose. And people are like, they get all weird about this. I'm like, no, it's not. It's not like we're all here to slice pepperonis. Like, no, that's not what I mean. What is our purpose? What are we? We're fucking creators. We're here to create. That's what we do. That's our purpose. And when we're creating, we are on purpose. And it's impossible to be depressed. It's impossible to be like just like lethargic and apathetic. It's impossible when you're in creation mode. You can't do it. You're on the other end of the spectrum, right? So when you're creating, you feel good because you're living on purpose. And then you get to a point where you create this thing, and then the creation part's over. And now it's about, oh, that was amazing, but I don't really care about this thing. This thing itself doesn't really light me up. It wasn't the thing. It was the creation of the thing that lit you up. And when we were doing a talk and someone, you know, asked a question about, she said, I forgot how long it was. It was like 10 years. She'd been going to college or university or whatever the hell it's called now, school. And she was like one and a half or one credit away from getting her degree for like 4 years. She kept taking these ancillary weird classes and shit that weren't accredited and all that kind of stuff. She's like, I just can't finish. And I'm like, and she's like getting all upset. I'm like, well, because how do you feel when you're learning and you're growing and you're creating and you're building this life in your head from this degree and this education? You're actively living life and you feel alive. And you know, when you get that last credit and get that degree, it's over and you don't want to stop feeling alive. But what you don't realize is that that is how everything works. When you build the thing, when you win the game, you're excited because you won, you got the trophy, and then you stick it in a trophy case and it just collects dust. It doesn't matter. It's like you look at it and go, oh yeah, I remember that. That was awesome. Oh, those were the days. But you don't feel that sense of that energy of life roaring through your body because you're not creating. And all that comes from lack. So as people start to build these businesses and build their lives, they'll create ideals around this thing and they'll make shit mean what they need it to mean to serve what they need in themselves to continue to do this, until at some point you reach a point of demarcation where there's not enough left. There's not enough substance left in this creation to have that passion anymore. It just doesn't exist anymore. And so you either can go back to, why did you start doing this? Because I was creating something. I was building something, and it was the building and the creating that actually like got me fired up. And, or maybe there's even a deeper purpose because you have this sense of you can call it altruism or selfishness. It's the same thing really, but of making a difference in the world, of helping kids or helping addicts or helping people, being a people helper. Because you probably went through some shit in your life if you do that. I mean, most people that have that kind of role went through some stuff in their life, which is why they do what they do. And so the creation part of it is where the juice is flowing and where you feel alive and where you feel that energy of life roaring through you. And that's also happens to be what really is the only thing potent enough to really amplify authenticity enough to radiate out of your EMF, your electromagnetic field, to be seen and felt by everybody around you. So people that get to a point where they're like doing it just for the numbers and the money, whatever, you get to where you have enough money, your passion's gone, you die. So you got to go, we got to grow. We got to get bigger. We need to like expand and create new divisions and la, 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 la. That's why we have 600 different flavors of Cheetos or whatever. It's like, okay, whatever. We got to keep growing. Yeah, but you can grow doing something else too. It doesn't have to be that thing. And people get locked into this ideal that they built about, no, this is the thing. And this is my whole life. But it doesn't have to be. And if you're fortunate, sometimes you maybe hit that right the first time. But most of the time, like another example is my daughter. She graduated high school a year early because she wanted to be a doctor. So she wanted to get a jump on medical school. And so their real reason was she hated school because of a whole bunch of other stuff. Like she was a high school cheerleader, varsity cheerleader, super popular, pretty, all the things. But a whole bunch of terrible, nasty shit happened to her. So she wanted to get the hell out of school. So she graduated a year early thinking she's going to go to medical school. And she came up to me one day. She's like, Dad, I'm like, what? Why are we whispering? And she's like, it's just me and you. She's like, I know, but I got to talk to you. And I'm like, what? She goes, I don't want to be a doctor. And I'm like, okay, well, what should I do? I'm like, the last thing you should do is go to school to be a doctor. If you don't want to be a doctor, that's what you shouldn't do. And she's like, but I told everybody I was going to be a doctor. And I'm like, okay, so do you want to go build a life where you become what you're talking about, a miserable millionaire? Because you're going to carry all this misery and not be feeding your soul and your heart what it wants and what it needs just to appease other people? Is that the best way to go about it? And she's like, no, it's kind of stupid. I'm like, yeah, it's really stupid. It's like, so what do I do? I'm like, baby, you're 17, I'm 18, almost 18. I'm like, go live, go poke sticks at stuff, go party, go do the things. Like you like those rave things or these EDM events, go to those, go dress up like a bat and be a weirdo and go do your shit. Just go live and go see what lights you up, you know? And she's like, no one else's parents say that. I'm like, no, they're probably not going to. And I said, but that's how you figure it out, is you go try stuff, you go do stuff. And you like, just like a buffet, I don't like that one. Oh, that one's good. Put more of that on my plate. And you just go do that with life. And so the example being that, you know, if you get to a certain point where you feel burned out, You've lost your mojo and your zest for what you do. Either go back and remember why you started doing it in the first place. And if it was just to create something, then if you can find a way to like attach a module to this creation, great. If you can't, was there a deeper purpose or meaning for you besides your creation? Was it something that was more, more in the spiritual realm, where it was something like your soul's calling? Because if it's that, you're on the right track, you're done, and you can light that back up in seconds. How do you do it? By doing the thing more. That's it. So there's so many ways to go about it. And I think that a lot of the world is just conditioned and programmed and doesn't support like how I raise my kids. I think that people should do that in every situation, and every job should have like different opportunities. Like, you know, every third Friday, we're going to switch roles day. You go be the secretary, you go be the backhoe driver, you go be the forklift operator, you go be the CEO, whatever, and just play these different roles and see like, wow, that would be an ideal situation for life, but it's probably not going to happen anytime soon. Because it's like, everybody's so like, this is my role. And it's tied so deeply to identity that it can be really hard to like pull away from it to observe your own life. Because it's terrifying to like smash your identity. I just went through that in the last few years. Like my whole identity was just shattered. I'm like, who the fuck am I now? I don't even know. And then the question just becomes like, who do I want to be? Because what I am should be guiding that. What you are is this energy, this soul, the spirit. Who you are, you can become whoever you want. You can become a DJ. You can become a prankster. You can become whatever. You can become whatever you want. You can be whoever you want to be, but what you are always stays the same. So that's why it's imperative to tap into and to be aware of that thing, whatever you want to call it, the life force that makes our bodies animated and alive and gives us the ability to use these human energy systems to create mental, emotional, and physical. To be tapped into that, because that's authentic. That's really what you're here for, and whatever that is. It is critical that you do not compare or judge it to what the rest of the world is saying is right or wrong or good or bad or success or not success. Because look, man, if you got two people, some person spent their whole life grinding away, building this business that they literally hate, but they have like, you know, $10 million a year in revenue. It's a really, money and success like that is a really good mask. People like, oh, look how great they're doing. Yeah, but I literally have friends who have made that kind of money and they're like suicidal. It's like they're mm-hmm. they're miserable millionaires, and that's not a good way to live your life as far as I'm concerned. But you go through and you can do whatever this is telling you to do. And if you build this business that you hate, and there's someone over here who's doing something that they love, and forget about the numbers and money, but they don't have like the glitz and the glamour and the gold and the glory and all this shit that comes with the other side, but they're happy. 10 times out of 10, the person over here is going to be like envious of this person, not for what they have material wise, but for what they have immaterial, intangible, because they can feel it. They can see it and they want that, but you can mask a lot of that with material success. So the point being, you get to a point where if you know you're miserable and you've built a business, there's a beautiful thing. You have options. If it's a successful business, or if it makes any kind of profit, or you know, that kind of thing, you can sell it, get 2 or 3 times your yearly revenue, and then have time to go poke around and do things. You know, it's an asset. Sell it. You can revamp it. You can have someone else run it and walk away. There's all kinds of options. You don't have to stay stuck in anything. You can do whatever, and you should do whatever this is calling you to do. And when you get to that point, it's complete authenticity, and the rest of the dominoes just fall, man. There's no, you can learn leadership skills and like these different, what do they call this stuff? The language NLP, you can learn.
Yeah.
You can learn all these different strategies and tactics and techniques and stuff. But you don't need to. Like if you're living from that authentic core, you don't need to. You just talk to people. You don't have to convince people of anything because they want to do it. That's my point. When you're doing something that you, you know, this is so cliche, do something that you love. what I'm saying, if you're doing something that's fulfilling to you, even if you don't like all the work sometimes, because there's sometimes I don't like the shit. Sometimes I hate the shit I have to do. I'm like, ugh. But the overall encompassing bubble it all lives in, yeah, that's real. It's authentic. I love that. It drives me. It makes me feel alive and on purpose. And it makes me feel like I matter. So that's what we're all looking for, right? And so you get to a point where you have a choice to live that way or live the other way. Most people won't choose the authentic way. But when you get to that point and you have that energy, the people around you, they're going to have that same energy. And when you are in that place, I'm going to use kind of a risque metaphor, but I'll tell you, when you're in that place, there's nothing that can stop you from getting to the X on your map. Nothing, nothing will get in your way. And you even disregard your own life because you know that you have this bubble of protection. You can feel it. It's like, you're superhuman when you're living from that authentic energy. And this is what people strive to get. This is where people are like, where's the magic crystal? Where's this shit? This is what they're trying to get to. It's like, dude, it's already there. It's just in you. Look in the mirror. It's like, just get rid of, you're looking through 162 different layers and lenses of all these things that life has told you what you should be, whatever. So by the time your light gets out through all those lenses, it's so skewed and it's so not what it really naturally is. So the more of these, it's not about learning something. It's about stripping away all the calcified bullshit that's been plastered all over your mind and your heart and your life with expectations from others, with demands from others, with blah, 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 blah. You start stripping those away, all of a sudden, like, oh my God, there I am. Like, there you are. And when you feel that, I've never in my life that I can recall seen a person get to the core of their soul and not cry. You can't. Mm-hmm. It's too much energy. It's too much. It's just like, it's overwhelming and tears come out. You have to express that because you just like flick that little thing or tickle it, your soul, whatever the hell metaphor you want to use. You tear up and you start, my God, like it's just it's like core undeniable truth, but it's about yourself. So how do you explain this to somebody? This is kind of what it's like. You can have somebody sitting on a couch with a gun to their head. It's a little bit, stay with me. I know it might be a little bit weird, with a gun to their head and they're ready to go. They're like, I'm done. I am checking out of this bitch. And I've been there, but it was in my mouth. You know that story, I think. So, yeah. I'm done. And you just like ready to go. Someone walks in and they see you like, no, and they run and they tackle you and they get the gun and they pull it and you're like, no, fucker. Blah, blah, blah. But then if they go, really? And they point it at you, everything changes. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to fight for your life. Wait a minute. 2 seconds ago, you were ready to off yourself. Now that I'm pointing the gun at you, now you turn into some sort of like werewolf, superhuman, vampire strength fucking Hulk that could kill me to get the gun away from me so that they don't take your life. That energy, that's authentic. It's because authenticity and this thing, it's primal. It's not spiritual. It's like primal, just like, ugh, you have to express this shit. When you activate it, it's a primal thing. The spiritual sparkly stuff comes from when the authenticity is the driver that makes you start taking actions and doing stuff and building stuff. Then it's like, la, la, rainbows, unicorns, all this shit happens. The sparkles and the spiritual stuff happens because of that, because you're authentically building a physical life, a representation of what your intangible, non-physical soul wants to experience. So your soul lights up, your spirit lights up, spirituality starts to grow and expand, and you have this fulfilled, beautiful, harmonious dance of duality between the human and the spirit that is authentically being created tandemly together, where one supporting the other. So it's imperative if you want to be a really good leader that's also very happy and very fulfilled and has nothing to hide, you know, about like, oh, I got to make sure and show up this way. Like, you know, I got to wear a certain kind of suit, whatever. That's all shit people do. And that's fine. And that's like the way, you know, I went to a business meeting one. I went to a business meeting one time and I'm this is it. Like, this is me. I wore a tie. I married my nephew. And he asked me to wear a tie. I'm like, fuck, all right, I'll wear a tie. So that's the time I wore a tie. But because I was actually doing I was the officiator or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, all right, I'll wear one. But other than that, I show up how I am. I got cargo shorts on, t-shirt, hat, flip flops. I'm done. And I show up to this business meeting and they're like, you're Mike? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, you're Mike Kemsky. You for the meeting? I'm like, yeah. And they're like looking at me. I'm like, okay, look, if you're going to look at me and judge me by the way I look versus what I'm bringing to this table, then I'm not even going to sit down. And they looked at me like, no, sit down. Did this meeting, whatever. Ended up closing a multi-million dollar deal. I got done. And two of the guys came over. They're like, dude, I'm so envious of you. I'm like, why? They're like, look at you, man. Like, you're comfortable. And I'm like, yeah, what else would I be? Why would I be anything different? And they couldn't understand it. And I can't understand them. I'm like, what the fuck? Why, you know, because some people like to be certain ways and dress certain ways. Then do it. If you like it, do it. As long as it's not harming you or harming somebody else, who gives a shit? It's just so anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent, but the whole idea of like leadership, authenticity, and what's the other one you said?
Legacy.
Legacy, yes, legacy. The core of all of it, the seed to all of it is authenticity, is just being you. How do I be me? I don't fucking know. I'm not you. You be you. I don't know. I'm me. I don't know how else to be anything else. So it's not a complicated thing, but man, it's really hard because of all those layers of stuff that people have put on us, you know, for our whole life. If you go take a 6-month-old baby who's crying and you go, hey, here's a new Ferrari and a sack of gold, they're going to be like, where's the milk? I don't give a shit about that, right? They don't care. Look at how nature works and operate within the laws and confines of nature, and you are living in a place of authenticity. And it's only when we start to get programmed and brainwashed into the whole structure of this fabricated society and all this stuff, which we need to do. It's not something you can't just check out of it. We live in it. We have to figure it out. We got to go through and do the stuff, but you can still do it with authenticity. Authenticity just commands leadership. Authenticity commands legacy, because by leading people and helping them with wisdom, with encouragement, with empowerment, become the best that they can be in their own authentic energy, you have created the platform for them to do the same. It's principle 11 in my book, Pass the Torch, to do the same for the next people and the next people and the next people. And the legacy that's being left behind is literally a slow progression of the elevation of humanity. And that's not done through material stuff so much as it is immaterial stuff, as far as I can see.
Yeah. Wow. I'm loving this. And it's funny, you got me thinking. I remember back in the day when I was working at a college, the department I was in was by the admissions department, and they hired this new person, and they told him he had to wear a tie. So they went through this giant hiring process, and he's a person that didn't wear a tie. That's who he was. He didn't want to wear one. And so they went through the giant hiring process for however many months it took. They get this person in there, and then they tell him he had to wear a tie or do whatever it was. And he just said, he just walked out. He's like, today's my last day. he had me thinking around like this authenticity. Cause yeah, I feel like so many people, and I've fallen into this category occasionally, and you know, I think we all do, is there are those societal elements, right? Or we're seeing what other people are doing, that whether it's in business, maybe we're trying to match what someone's doing, but it's like you're talking about that authenticity and really being the creator that we are, of just coming from that place of what's truly us, what is it that we want to put out there in our own energy, in our own soul. I have a question coming to mind. How do you, or what have you found through your experience, right, in terms of like being authentic to you? I know you said, you know, you may have things for your business that maybe you go, I don't really love doing it, but I'm going to do it. How do you sort of have that balance between maybe being authentic, showing up the way that you'd like, and balancing it with either one, the stuff that needs to be done, or the way that people are showing?
Sure. It's a great question. That being authentic and being yourself and whatever doesn't mean being an asshole. It doesn't mean being like an overbearing. Mm-hmm. Like I'm gonna walk into a church and be like, "What's up, motherfuckers?" Ah! No, I'm not gonna do that. This is their house. This is being authentic. It doesn't mean that you just like get to like stomp through life and just destroy everybody else. No, it's being in harmony with nature. That's authenticity. It's being in harmony with nature. And if those people have a structure and you need to be in that building, then by all means, you know, if I'm going to choose to be in there for some reason, then I'm going to be appropriate to what their requirements are while I'm in their thing. I'm not going to change. My shell might change, my exterior, my clothes and my whatever, and my language might change just a little bit. But I'm not going to change my energy. I'm not going to fake like, yes, I'm not going to be reverent. I'm not going to do all this stuff. I'm going to be exactly what I am, but I'm not going to be belligerent and knowingly offensive to you people if I need to be there for some reason. If I don't, I'm not going. It's as simple as that. Like, I'm not fucking going in there. I don't even do that. But here's a good example. A simple example of this is like, at my core, that like I look like a big, rough, tough, roar. I mean, I have a nickname like the Velvet Hammer. So I'm soft and hard. I have another nickname, the Enlightened Barbarian. Like, what the fuck, people? Like, what are you doing to me? But because it's kind of true. I'm very sensitive. I'm very tender. And at the core of everything I do, it's all based out of love. All of it. Everything's based out of love. I'm just a big old hunk of gooey ass love. And so I love to cook because it's creating and it's like using nature and making flavors and combining flavors. It's like art, but I love to cook mostly because I infuse love into this food and I love to cook for people. I love to cook for people I care about. And my daughter was going through that. She went to cosmetology school and got her license and all that. She had like 5 jobs. She's like, "Dad, I don't like this one." I'm like, "Go get a different one. If you don't like that vibe there, then it's not your home." She's like, but every time she get a job, I make her like these jalapeno poppers I make that are fucking delicious. And I'm like, you know, I'm doing it for her and I love it. I'm like, yeah, I got a reason to do this. And I love to do it because I love to give that way. I hate cleaning. I hate dishes. I hate it. But I love to cook. And I love to give that love and infuse that love and the act of giving and sharing the meal and this is delicious, the sensory experience, all that stuff that I love. You put it on the scales versus how much I don't love to clean or do dishes and shit. It doesn't even tip them, man. But I don't like doing that shit. So, but it's kind of like, I love horses, but I don't like cleaning up horse shit. I love my dog, but I don't like cleaning up dog shit. Like, well, you know, you ask anybody who has a dog, like, are you going to get rid of your dog because it poops in the backyard? No, hell no, I'm not going to do that. So there's always something, right? There's always like a give and take. But it's when you cross the line. This is the rule I have. It's the 51% rule. If you're on 51% of your highest energy is going towards something that's serving and supporting your authenticity, you're winning at life. You're winning at life. If it crosses over to 50 or 49.9%, you're losing and you got to change something. It doesn't have to be 100, but when you're in your zone doing it, it's like 110, man. You're like, this is fucking crazy. And then it's like, yeah, this is amazing. Ah, son of a bitch. I got a pile of dishes and shit everywhere. All right. Now it's dropped down to like 52%, but it's still, you know what I'm saying? So it's just about going through life, understanding that there's no Narnia where it's just like magic button. No, the dishes are automatically done. And normally when I cook for people, they're like, "You cooked, we'll do the dishes." I'm like, "Oh fuck, winning." Right. Like, I love that. So then it works out perfect, but it's just about making the primary focus about something that feeds your soul. And then whatever other bullshit you got to do that, you don't care. It's like if you're in love, like at 13 years old, 14 years old, "Oh, I love this person." You know, this first little Twitter-pated love thing. You live on a three-story apartment. You'll make a prison rope, man. You'll tie sheets together. You'll find some way to get out of there. You're not worried about falling. You're not worried about dying. You're not worried about getting in trouble. You're not worried about shit. you don't care what's in your way to get to what you love. You don't care. You find a way to get there. That's living from authenticity. That's like authentic energy. And then when you get back, you're like, okay, now I got to climb this thing. Shit. Now I'm going to get in trouble for that. So there's consequences, and they go both ways. The good consequences, usually, if it's authentic, not usually, always, if it's authentic, always outweigh the bad consequences. So it's kind of like, yeah, you know what? I'll take my lumps. It's fine because I get to live. I get to live from that place of power where it's roaring. You can feel the life force roaring through your body. And that's what people want, but they crave it, but they just like, I can't get there. I'm like, well, if I get to live like that, then I'll take a couple lumps every now and again. That's fine with me. So it kind of works itself out because it's nature. It's a self-correcting system, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Thank you. I really do appreciate you, you know, taking the time to share this with us because the way you break down your insights, I just feel like they're so understandable and relatable and applicable into life. If someone was interested in checking out your work, is there anywhere that you recommend they go to do that?
You can go to Power Life Challenge, the Power Life Challenge. I think it's just powerlifechallenge.com, or the best way is just, I don't have a bunch of stuff like set up technically like that. Just find me on Facebook or social media. That's the easiest way. Because there's so much noise out there. It's hard to even, you know, it's funny that people, I wrote a post about this. Like, why are people afraid to talk to me, man? I'm like actually really nice. I'm a really nice person, but there are people who are terrified. Like someone's like, I've been trying to reach out for you for 3 years. I'm like, what the fuck? Why did it take you 3 years? Because I was scared. Scared of what? What am I going to do? So anyway, I'm going off the course here. Yeah, just find me on social media. Powerlifechallenge.com is a way you can kind of get into, see some of the, to practice some of the stuff that I teach. But that's really, really the best way is just to find me on social media for now. Yeah.
Cool. Perfect. Yeah, thank you so much, Mike. I definitely recommend everybody check out your work. I'm going to click end record, but we'll stay on. Okay. When I make it, I'll do an introduction for you. Cause I realized I didn't do the introduction in the beginning.
If we even need it, man, it's great.
Okay. Let me see. I'm going to hit end record.
Thanks for listening. And remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and head on over to jmwhiteman.com so you can see how to bring your legacy and your leadership in business to the next level. I'll see you in the next episode.